Welcome to the NBA Panel with your host, John Witherspoon. The NBA Panel covers the league to keep you up to date with NBA news, movements, and stats. Join us as we discuss the sport that we love, the NBA. And now, here's your host, John Witherspoon.
Yes, welcome to episode 113 of the NBA Panel. I'm your host, John Witherspoon, with the panel members, which is updated with all things NBA. Today, I'm hyped for today's show. We're joined by Jared Greenberg, host of NBA TV, 10 Before Tip, host of numerous other shows at NBA TV, also reporter at Turner Sports. Jared, what's going on?
What's up, John? How you doing, man?
I'm fine. Thanks for joining me today, man.
You got it, man.
So what show are you doing today? Do you have schedule for today?
So today, I just got done with the SiriusXM NBA radio show that I host every day with Brendan Haywood.
Right, that's right. Okay.
SiriusXM. And then getting ready to do 10 before tip tonight, which is at 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific.
Okay. You also host other shows, too. You do Shaq and the Fool with Shaquille O'Neal.
I haven't done that one in a few years, but I do Crunch Time every Wednesday and Friday on NBA TV, and do Game Time sporadically throughout the year as well.
Right. So how is it working with, you said you worked with Shaq previously. How is it working with Shaq and Kenny and other Basketball Hall of Famers all the time? How's that experience?
It's awesome, man. I mean, you know, the coolest thing is, at Turner Sports is that every night there's a different Hall of Famer in the building that we're working with. And, you get to learn real quick. These guys are just human beings. And, you know, for the most part, they're all really big basketball fans. So it's really cool to either just be talking hoops with them, or at times, you know, if we're doing like a pregame show and then we get to go in the back and hang out and watch games with them,
right,
just, you know, their natural reaction and getting to see them love the game as much as we all love the game. So, it's a really cool experience. And everybody, I think the great thing about Turner Sports is that everybody's just, you know, really down to earth. We don't really have a lot of divas, like I think a lot of fans might think that there might be. And it's just, right, it's just everybody's got a lot of respect for one another, and we love talking hoops.
Yeah, I can tell. The shows are like, you can tell it's like a family-oriented shows. Like, it's just like,
Everyone
is so close, you can tell on air. So it shows. You're doing your job over there, definitely. Yet, we were able to cover, we were at the Basketball Hall of Fame when Shaq got inducted. It was a great ceremony. Him and Allen Iverson, that was a great ceremony. So can you get us caught up on your career up to this point?
Well, this is my eighth season with Turner Sports. Working at NBA TV, and it's before that I was up in New York working, covering a variety of different sports, including covering the NBA and a lot of other different sports. And I've been down here in Atlanta at Turner Sports now since right after the lockout ended in 2012, and it's been awesome.
You got a dream job. I mean, I love hosting and talking to different guests every week. I know you love your job because I can imagine you've been talking to more folks.
Oh, no doubt.
Than I have.
Yeah.
One person you're familiar with, Shaq, made some comments about he thinks the 2001 Lakers could beat this current Golden State Warriors team. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, mine are, I think it's a toss-up because Shaq was one of the most dominant players in that era, and I think Draymond Green couldn't handle him. I mean, I think Shaq will average 50 points against this Golden State Warriors team because they give up an average now of like 115 a point, 115 a game, I'm sorry. And I think Shaq had 50 of those points himself, not to mention Kobe Bryant. That was the fro Kobe. So I think they would give Golden State Warriors all they could handle. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the thing that goes kind of underrated about Shaq is that, you know, I don't know that there is any team in any era, I don't care if it's got Bill Russell on the team or Wilt Chamberlain, you know, when Shaq is at his best and he's focused and he's locked in, he's probably the single most dominant player the NBA has ever seen. So I don't know if anybody could stop him. I just think that the Lakers, as much firepower as they'd have and as much trouble as Golden State would have slowing down Shaq, and they certainly couldn't.
Right.
You know, on the other end, who would Shaq guard? And would he be willing to chase around Draymond Green up at the top of the perimeter? And,
right,
you know, who guards Kevin Durant? And,
exactly,
you know, with Steph Curry getting loose, I get the fact that, you know, there's a lot of Hall of Famers or future Hall of Famers on both sides of the court.
Right.
I just don't think it's such a walkover for the Lakers as people would think, just because at the other end of the court, the Lakers would have to try and keep up with the Warriors, and that's just not easy to do, as we've seen over the last 5 years here in the NBA.
Exactly. And with that roster, I really don't see – I couldn't see Derek Fisher keeping up with Steph Curry. I think it'll be a – and you still have Klay Thompson over there also, who we all know can get white hot at any moment and go off with 50, 60 right. points in 20, 30 minutes. Sorry, in like 30 minutes, which is crazy. So how did you know this is something you wanted to do? Like, what was the turning moment that led you to this career?
Well, we got to go back a long ways, man. I was 15 years old, and I was in high school, and I had the opportunity to work at a college radio station in where I grew up in New Jersey. And from the moment I stepped into the radio station and did my first ever shift, I realized, you know, that it was kind of a convergence of everything in my life that I loved. You know, I loved listening to the radio, and I loved sports. And it finally kind of all clicked for me that this is something I could do, where I could merge my passion for sports, a passion for being able to have a discussion about sports, and there's a platform for me out there that, you know, I could be able to go and do this.
Exactly. An example is this is only episode 113 of the NBA panel, and yet it's in the position that it's in. A lot of hard work is being put behind this. a lot.
Yeah. No, dude, I mean, listen, it's not a real job, right? Like, we're not solving world problems. We're not, you know, doing taxes for anybody. We're not, you know, in the surgery, performing surgery on anybody. But there's certainly a lot of hours to make sure that, you know, fans, because fans out there, that's a great part about the NBA, is that the fans are so passionate and so knowledgeable. And, you know, with people being on social media 24/7, people will know if I'm not watching the games and if I don't love it, you know. And the biggest thing is I want people to recognize when they watch a show that I do or listen to the show on the radio, I want people to recognize first and foremost that I love basketball. I'm not just up here and talking yet. I genuinely love the stuff I'm talking about.
Exactly. Same here. I love the NBA. I love the NBA. I love talking about the NBA and covering the NBA. So who's your pick for the NBA champion right now? I know overwhelming favorite might be the Golden State Warriors if they can get back healthy and implement DeMarcus Cousins. Because I keep saying if he's back at least even 80% of the player he was, that's going to make them even more of a juggernaut. I mean, they're my pick right now. They were going through a little struggles right now, especially with their injuries they've been having. And Draymond Green just now coming back off the toe injury. But I think they're overwhelming favorite right now.
Yeah, I think that's probably what most people would say, and I'm right there with you, you know. I don't think that there's too much parity elsewhere. You know, the Raptors are coming off of just beating the Warriors twice.
Right.
And it's cool that the Raptors could do it when the Warriors weren't healthy and then doing it last night when the Warriors were healthy, but the Raptors didn't have Kawhi Leonard. You just have to wonder, is this going to be an injury, or are there other injuries that are going to linger that are going to affect him?
Right.
Because, you know, you just can't think that because you beat the Warriors twice over the course of 82 games that you'd be able to do it four times over the course of a seven-game series. And that's just to get out of the East. I think the Raptors have high expectations. I think that they're probably the deepest and most versatile team in the NBA right now. I love the way Kyle Lowry has adapted to this new role that he's taken on, leading the league in assists. And they have guys like Danny Green and Serge Ibaka who have been to the NBA Finals before.
Right.
But they also have a lot of young, inexperienced players who are playing out of their mind right now, guys like Van Vliet and Siakam. But are they ready when the light shines the brightest? I think that'll be yet to be seen. And I don't think we've seen the best from Boston yet, and I still think we'll see better days ahead from Milwaukee. Giannis is coming off his worst game of the season. But out west, man, there's just a whole bunch of parity. There's just a bunch of teams that are separated by, what, you know, two or three games in the standings right now. And I think there's going to be too much of a fight among those teams to really figure out if there is a true threat to Golden State in the Western Conference.
Exactly. I believe 1-9 is separated by only 3.5 games, which is crazy, which is ridiculous. Dwayne Wade stepped away. Well, he had his last matchup with LeBron James. I have a two-part question for you for this. But first, I want to talk about LeBron James a little bit. LeBron James hasn't won an MVP in 5 seasons, which is ridiculous. And it shows how much of a...
Why is it ridiculous?
Because you can tell of an impact he's had on one team. He left the Cavs, and they're just totally in disarray again. This is the same team he basically took to the finals. Besides, they just moved Korver. This is the same team he took to the finals last year, which is ridiculous, and challenged that juggernaut.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt Michael's... LeBron's one of the greatest ever. Maybe the second or third greatest ever. Maybe by the end of his career, people will say unanimously he's the greatest ever. So I have a rule when people do things like that, when they say that somebody's getting screwed over by not getting an award or something, the rule is you got to tell me what year did somebody not deserve it where LeBron should have gotten it.
Well, when the last couple of years, Russell Westbrook, he won it because of he put up the triple double. He did it the last couple of years. James Harden won it, but because he was like basically shunned the last couple of years. But I think he was given the MVP last year because he lost it previously before. That's my opinion on that.
Well, I mean, he was the leading scorer in the NBA. He was the best player on the best team. I mean, think about it. He was on a team that won 65 games, and they were ahead in the standings above maybe the greatest roster ever constructed, the Golden State Warriors. I don't think people just gave it to him because they felt sorry for him. I think that the voters, which I am one of, you look at the overall picture. I mean, what Harden did last year, points plus assist, was historic. So, what he was contributing to the overall impact of a historic offense on a team that won 65 games, and oh, by the way, they were better than the Warriors, I think you got to take that into account. I just felt like he was the clear-cut MVP last year.
Yeah, good points, solid points. That doesn't take away from the importance of LeBron James. But you're right. So do you have a favorite interview you've ever done that you can remember offhand out of all the great guests you've interviewed and done silent reports with?
Oh, wow. Favorite interview. I mean, the guys in the Warriors, especially Steph Curry, he's like one of the most down-to-earth guys ever. He listens to your question. He thinks, really gives it some thought and gives genuine answers. He's not just giving cliches. I think for the most part, most dudes in the NBA are really cool to interview just to get to know as people, and recognize that they're not just robots or machines, they're actual human beings. And, I think for the most part, they're all really cool to get to know and get to talk to. But, the guy who stands out just because I think the player he's become is Steph Curry. He's the same type of dude now that he was 6 years ago before anybody realized he was an all-star, let alone a two-time MVP and a lock-solid future Hall of Famer.
I think one of my favorite interviews I've done on here is with Stephon Marbury. That was a great interview because he went over China, got a statue, and just turned his whole career around. So I think that was one of my favorite interviews I've done so far. Jared, thank you so much for giving me some of your time. I appreciate it so much, man. Thank you.
You got it, man.
Thank you.
Great to meet you, John.
You too. Yes, that was episode 113 of the NBA panel with Jared Greenberg, NBA TV host. He's on a lot over there. I want to thank NBA TV for coming through for this episode of the NBA panel. And I'll catch y'all next week.